Monty and Reyes versus movies. Monty and Reyes versus movies. Monty and Reyes versus movies.
Post-apocalypse.
That was great. It was also the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song, but I'm hoping nobody notices or that my melody was sufficiently distinct.
It didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard before.
So here's the thing, gang. We're recording these episodes a little bit in advance, like 3 weeks in advance or so. So this is the first episode of our post-apocalypse series where we kind of feel like we're in the post-apocalypse.
Well, we're definitely in an apocalypse. I don't think we're through it yet. So
no.
We're in the early days. We're in kind of the, not really the pre-apocalypse, the early days of the apocalypse.
Yeah, you guys remember those halcyon days of 3 weeks ago when staying home all day and going crazy was just a new and exciting thing instead of the way everybody lives all the time?
That's right.
So, oof. Wow.
So there's a virus going around.
What?
And we've all been ordered into our houses here in Seattle. They've closed all the bars, all the restaurants.
Yeah.
We don't go out that often. So for us, Monty's always worked from home. So for him, it's nothing different. And I was unemployed for a lot of last year. So I was home with him all the time. So we pretty much have been training for this.
Having said that, we're starting to feel like we have chosen a very on-the-nose topic for the first year of this podcast.
It is true.
But we're going to go in order. We have kind of a format already established. So, Reyes, what you seen recently?
Oh, I have seen so much recently.
Been watching like 5 movies a day?
It's like I've been watching 5 movies a day while I'm working from home.
Pick a couple things. Let's talk about them.
Well, I'll choose some stuff I watched with you.
Okay.
The first one is a movie called Darktown Strutters.
Okay.
Now, would you like to explain why we ended up watching the whole movie?
Sure. Darktown Strutters was a movie we ran across on Prime Video, and you said, oh, that movie's terrible. I've never made it more than 15 minutes in.
True fact.
And I said, well, we're gonna watch all of it this time. We've got nothing but time. And then we watched all of it, as I remember it.
As I remember, about 20 minutes in, you said, no, no, we can turn this off now. Let's get out of here. And then I said, oh, hell no.
Now, to be fair, 2 minutes in, you said, let's turn it off. And I said, no.
So pretty much it was our own stubbornness.
Yeah.
And the need to punish one another that led us to watching the entire movie.
So why don't you summarize real quick Darktown Strutters for us? What?
It is about, I would say, what? And this is, it's about a gang of lady motorcyclists.
Not motorcyclists, they have trikes.
They have giant trikes that are kind of cool looking, actually.
Very cool looking.
And ridiculous outfits.
Very ridiculous.
And one of the leader of the gang, her mom gets kidnapped by a guy who looks exactly like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, he's clearly a Colonel Sanders knockoff, but he sells ribs instead of fried chicken. And he's
just the worst.
Okay, this is a blaxploitation movie made by white people. The director directed a whole bunch of, like, Roy Rogers westerns.
Yeah, he's a known director in the neighborhood. He's directed some good films.
This is not one of
them. But this is not one of them. This is one of the worst films ever.
So in order to make it clear that the white guy is the villain in this, he dresses like Colonel Sanders.
He has people picking cotton. He has African-American people on his front lawn picking cotton for him.
Yes. He also dresses up like a pig in diapers. Like, I want to say, the second half of this movie, once you're settled in, gets good and weird.
Yeah, that's right. He's wearing a diaper, like a little piggy ear hat.
Yeah.
And diapers. And he's having a minstrel show, which he is, I guess, forcing people to watch?
Yeah, an actual minstrel show. Black people with blackface on, like Spike Lee did in Bamboozled.
Except without the social commentary.
Without the social commentary, but with swears. Like, one of the jokes, the only jokes is, my kid said half of his first word today. It was mother. And then they shake their tambourines. It's horrifying. But what I liked about it was that the main character, the woman, was basically Bugs Bunny.
Was she?
Yeah, because like at one point the cops start to arrest her gang, but one of the cops is too fat to get out of the police car. So she goes up to the police car and says, give me your license and registration. And the guy takes her seriously because she's...
Oh, see, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and later, later she dresses up as a cop and goes into the police station and frees all of the black people they've arrested.
I mean, let me tell you this, guys. I have a lot of experience with bad movies.
It's true.
More than most living human beings.
Fact.
That is possibly...
Uh-oh, watch it.
The worst movie I have ever seen.
Wow. Okay. Well, a couple of movies I watched recently were Supervan and FP2 Beats of Rage.
Ooh.
Now...
I watched both of those also.
We're having a great time, by the way. Supervan is a movie in the vansploitation genre.
I believe there are 10 vansploitation films.
Yeah, and they're bad. they're mostly CB movies. This is a movie about a guy who ends up with a super high-tech solar-powered van, and he has to win $5,000 at the big van competition.
Isn't that called the Super Freakout?
Yeah, it's the bicentennial, non-invitational Super Freakout, and possibly a couple more names.
Yeah.
But it's just nonsense, but there's lots and lots of footage of an actual van meetup, so you get to see cool vans. Well, cool is relative, but... If you think a van should be covered in shag carpet on the inside, including the walls and ceiling, this is a good movie for seeing lots of that.
Yeah. Do you want a large airbrushed Frazetta painting? Not by actual Frazetta, but a reasonable facsimile on the outside of your van?
Yes!
Yeah! There's a bunch of those in this movie.
Oh, I blew up.
There's also a documentary that's on Amazon called Vanin,
yeah,
which is a great double feature with this because it's just a documentary about van culture. And I believe that a lot of the movie we saw was stock footage filmed at one of the van culture meetups.
Yeah, definitely.
Meetups, yeah.
And FP2 Beats of Rage is actually a post-apocalyptic movie. And in this future post-apocalypse, people speak in a completely unintelligible slang. And worship.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
Some kind of slightly altered Dance Dance Revolution. They call it Beat Beat Revelation, except they did not hire anybody who's good at that. It was.
And they didn't even hire foot doubles.
Yeah.
So you're watching what are allegedly the most ninja. That's what they call them.
Oh, they talk about being
re-ninged. Oh, you're the most ninja. Oh, you've lost your ninja skills. You gotta be re-ninged.
Oh boy.
It is just gibberish.
It's relentless gibberish, and I had a lot of fun. Also, just to follow up on.
I didn't hate it that much. It was relentless gibberish. I wouldn't want to watch it again, but compared to Darktown Strutters, at least it didn't have that racism.
Yeah.
So, good for them.
FP2 Beats of Rage had good special effects, good visuals. I will say, Darktown Strutters, I think whoever did the props and costumes did a great job. And to follow up on what we talked about last episode, we both wanted to see Invisible Man. We saw it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm tired of those big, ugly concrete houses they put in all these movies.
They're in Parasite, Invisible Man, Westworld. Super rich people live in concrete boxes.
Yep.
This is back when there were rich people. We don't know what the future is like. Remember, this is 3 weeks ago.
Well, there's that End of the World movie where all those celebrities are gathered at James Franco's house, and it's a big concrete box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the boxes of the future. Oh. I do not care for them. I'm worried that if you, trip over your furniture, you'll break your hip.
But speaking of boxes, let's get to Bird Box.
Oh.
That was Raya's high-fiving me enthusiastically.
That was you high-fiving yourself. This
and
is a plague season.
So, Bird Box. This is a real movie with real actors and a real budget and real acting in it.
Yeah.
There are some of these in the post-apocalyptic genre, it turns out. This is about Sandra Bullock, who plays a real pill.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy spending 2 hours with her.
She doesn't like... Well, the point is that she doesn't like children and she's stuck with a couple of them.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, the reason I didn't like being stuck with her was that this is a... movie about a plague post-apocalypse where people are locked in a house and getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah, that's a little close to home right now. It wasn't when we chose to do a recording about this movie, but now it's just kind of, it's like rubbing salt in the wound.
Yeah. So, what'd you think of it?
Well, it's the second time I've seen it. I enjoyed it. There were some things in it I really liked. There was a really good, there's a grocery store scene that I like. where a guy goes outside of the grocery store where he's not supposed to go, and all you see is his blood running in under the door. And they're like, oh, not going to let him in.
Yep.
I like that. I thought it was a good little horror scene. Basically, the story is Sandra Bullock doesn't like kids, but she's all pregnant.
Yep.
She doesn't even know if she wants to keep this baby, but it's too late for an abortion, so she's got this baby. And then she ends up having to keep that baby alive along with another baby that they salvaged from someplace.
Now, if that were the story of the movie,
yeah, that's...
I would be into it. But it's not really. Most of the movie is... There's a whole bunch of completely pre-apocalypse stuff where she argues with her sister.
Oh, that's like 10 minutes. That's not a lot.
And then most of the movie is stuck-in-house stuff. And I want to bring this up right away. I think this movie came out of somebody's brainstorming on ways they could make a monster movie without having to show a monster.
Yeah, and I feel like that part of the movie is effective.
Yeah.
There were some drawings of what the monsters might look like that you see at one point, but everybody sees a different monster.
This is a monster that, if you see it, it will probably make you kill yourself. Unless you are criminally insane, in which case you fall in love with it, and you become obsessed with making other people open their eyes and see it.
Yeah, like, you need to look at this. It's the most beautiful thing. You know, your usual cultists. Yeah.
This came out the same year as A Quiet Place, which is a monster that kills you if you make noise.
Mm-hmm.
So that at the moment, it seemed like there was going to be a little mini genre of, you know, don't smell this, or as long as you don't shower, you're okay, or something like that. That doesn't seem to have been the case.
Well, they haven't made a movie in which you have to be deaf.
That's true.
Because then we could have a see no evil, a speak no evil, and a hear no evil movie.
We've had that already. It stars Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. Yeah, one of them's deaf, one of them's blind. They team up. This is when they were a comedy team.
Oh, those poor gentlemen. That's a terrible movie, but I don't think it's what I'm looking for.
Because people like Silver Streak so much? I'm looking for a movie where
if you hear the monster, you will die.
Hmm. So you buy earplugs.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound as debilitating. Incidentally, I want to say, I think they planned out these kids poorly. So they eventually have some kids. She names them boy and girl so she doesn't get attached to them. It's weird. And she does not fall in love with them until right at the end. But...
When they're safe, she finally feels okay to give them names.
You see scenes of them learning to, like, try echolocation, which is apparently something some people can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I was thinking, you should never have taken the blindfolds off those kids. Raise them as though they are blind. They will be so much better than you at navigating this world.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But instead, the kids are mostly sighted and then sometimes have to try to navigate while blindfolded, and that's so much harder.
I think so, too. I think blindfolding your children from birth is the only way to survive this particular apocalypse.
Yes, but you never know what apocalypse you're in. So, I mean, I have a really lengthy plot breakdown here. I'm not super into going through it.
No, not really. She just has to go take these kids to a sanctuary, which turns out to be a school for the blind.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
A lot of these movies have... the Sanctuary City. Frequently a city named Sanctuary. Sometimes a city that was named Sanctuary before the apocalypse, which I always think is weird.
That's true.
It's a very optimistic name. But this is a movie where you know that she's trying to get to an apocalypse and she has to, like, go row down a river through rapids while blindfolded, which is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That scene I didn't completely buy. I did like the scene where they had to go from the house where they're all walled in to the supermarket 3 blocks away.
Yes, and they had to navigate using... What were they using?
The proximity sensor.
The proximity sensor on the car to tell them if they were about to run into a parked car.
And the GPS.
And the GPS to get directions to the store.
I liked that. That made it feel kind of like a process story. Like, here are our obstacles. What are we going to do? So we black out all the windows on the car, use the GPS. Oh, but... there are broken down cars in the road. Okay, the proximity sensor. There are dead bodies. We'll just keep telling ourselves there are speed bumps. And that scene where they were going from the car...
Yeah, every time they run over a body, the guy driving is like, that was a curb. That was just a speed bump.
I really liked the scene where they're going from the house to the supermarket. I thought that was really effective.
That was a good tense scene. I was concerned because I had so many people in the car. I felt like if you're going to loot a supermarket, you want lots of room in the car. So maybe a team of no more than two people.
Yeah. But they did a good job. And that scene was like unique to this movie concept. And it was pretty effective.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. We got the impression that she had her eyes open under the blindfold because we kept seeing point of view shots where light was getting in.
Yeah.
That, to me, implies as long as your eyesight is really bad, you could open your eyes.
Oh, yeah. If you can't tell what the monster is, if you can only see blurry stuff.
I think you're fine.
You might be fine if you took your glasses off, but you'd also be blind.
Well, you just take your glasses off when you're outside. Problem solved.
Wow. You're a survivor.
And eventually they get to the location. It's a school for the blind. There's a bunch of blind people there. It's called Bird Box because birds freak out every time there are monsters nearby. They do not use that nearly as much as I was hoping they would.
Yeah, they just have some birds in a shoebox the whole time they're in the river. The birds go in the water several times. The birds have a rough trip.
Yeah, by the rules established by this movie, I think they could have just had their box of birds and their blindfolds off. And whenever the birds start making noise, pull the blindfold down really quick.
Yeah.
That would have made things easier, but less tense, so I understand why they didn't do it. I will say this. I hope that our next movie is less realistic.
Yeah,
I want shoulder pads. I want motorcycles.
I do, too. In fact, I kind of want that in real life at this point. Oh, Monty is fetching out the box.
Yeah. Next in our little rundown, we normally talk about, are you looking forward to anything?
The day when I might again run free.
Oh, boy. Remember 3 weeks ago when we thought, I don't want to speculate what you guys in the future are like. You're probably like the people in Bird Box. A slowly dwindling number of people.
I hope not. That's why we're all staying home, is in the hopes that we don't become a slowly dwindling number of people.
If there is a future, you're welcome that we stayed home today.
Exactly. Things are not great.
So yeah, but the problem is there are no new movies
that we can go see.
So I will say I am looking forward to the new season of RuPaul's Drag Race, which
I'm enjoying that.
And the new season of The Great Food Truck Race, which is a show that somehow still exists.
Okay. But you notice this, I think this year their food race is only along the California coast. The first one was like coast to coast, and then didn't they have the last one was just like a little tiny area like Florida to cross the Texas or something?
The last one was winters, but it was only like three states, I think.
Yeah, the food truck races are getting smaller and smaller, and I think that's because they cannot, this show.
Yeah, we have not started watching it yet.
Still be on.
I will say, my complaint is probably my complaint every time. There are too many chefs and not enough cooks. When I go to a food truck, I want somebody to make me a taco quickly and give it to me. I don't need to see a reduction of anything. I don't need to see your take. I don't need to get anything three ways. This is a job for short order cooks and line cooks, not fancy chefs.
I agree completely. And you know what I don't like? I don't like food trucks that are just called some random name. There's one in Seattle called Just Nosh. It tells you nothing about what you're going to eat.
But on The Great Food Truck Race, that's a good plan. Because if you have a specific plan, if you're like, we are the gnocchi truck. We sell gnocchi. And then they say, hey guys, I'm Tyler, what's my name? And today's challenge is, you're going to have to cook steak. Mm. And we're like, is steak gnocchi? There's literally no way of knowing.
Yeah, so then you just want to call your food the
Three Fat Guys.
Yeah, exactly. Or Three Dudes. American food.
Two cooks and a loudmouth friend they dragged along, which is how it works on The Great Food Truck.
Vaguely Southwestern food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to watch this.
We always watch it. We've watched every season. I'm ashamed of myself, but yet I can't turn away.
There was a moment, because we finally got rid of our TiVo and just went with the cable box DVR. And that meant I had to reprogram all of the season passes.
Oh.
And I chose to type in great food truck race, or I might have used the voice
at great thing. Personal expense.
Yes, but it'll eat an hour of our lives, and that's what we want.
I am looking forward to a movie which just showed up. It's supposed to premiere tonight on, it's not Amazon, it's on the Shudder, called Satanic Panic.
Oh, Satanic Panic's out?
Yeah.
Hot.
It comes out tonight. I've been looking forward to it. Don't know much about it, but a lot of people that talk like they know things say it's really a good horror movie.
People who talk like they know things are the best.
Well, that's how we got this job, baby.
Yep.
This high-paying radio gig.
This
is radio, right?
Yep. Might as well be. Mm. This is basically pump up the volume.
Oh, dear.
It's pirate radio. We're, doing it with no rules.
If I'd known it was pirate radio, I would have worn a better hat.
Do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I am on another podcast. It's called Don't Read the Latin. And it is me and my friend Jennifer Lovely, and we just enjoy talking about horror films. Sometimes we do a category of films. I believe our next episode is going to be films.
That might be the last episode when you're listening to this. We are out of sync.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. We do an episode roughly every 2 weeks, and it's called Don't Read the Latin, and you can figure it out. There's hundreds of them in the archives.
Yeah. You want to pick the next movie, or should I pick the next movie?
Here, I'll hold the box.
All right, here we go.
And we're doing this Bird Box style. You got to close your eyes.
Okay.
All right, reach into the box.
I am reaching into the box. Here.
Oh, very noisy.
Oh. I think one fell out.
It's okay. I'll get it later.
I have a card in my hand. I think we should read it together.
All right, let me get my glasses.
We're going to go 1, 2, 3, and then read whatever is on this card.
All right.
And here we go. 1, 2, 3. Six String Samurai! Heck yeah! I said I wanted something that is less realistic. Nothing is less realistic than Six String Samurai.
Yeah, it is fun, it is goofy, and it will take our mind off the apocalypse, at least for a moment.
Yep. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, wash your hands. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.